This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, good morning. This is BFM 89.9, the 20th of September 2019, 1 year away from Malaysia's 2020 deadline for what? To become fully developed? Grown up? To become an adult?
It's been pushed forward, hasn't it?
It has been pushed forward. Now we're looking at 2030 for full parental status. I'm Chuang, joined by Roshan Kanesan. Welcome to BFM in the morning. And Wong Xiaoning, how is it like being in the morning, Roshan?
Great, Chuang. I mean, I get to have conversations with the two of you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what's better than that? First thing in the morning.
Right? Yeah.
By 6 a.m.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
I'm not lying or anything like that.
Really? You're happy to be here at 6 a.m.? Okay,
yeah, good.
Do you still have time to concoct those funny millennial coffees in the morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning?
No, man. I haven't had any coffee yet, actually.
Are you serious?
I will only have it about like either 8 a.m. or 10 a.m.
This is the funky stuff, right, with the butter in it, which I don't understand.
He does his Instagram, these weird Instagram videos about how it's like, it takes like about fully 5 minutes to concoct his coffees.
You never heard of just putting a spoon into instant coffee and then hot water and stir.
Nope. Nothing against instant coffee, but I just can't drink it. I don't like sugar in my coffee.
See, how atas these people are nowadays.
I know, Chuang.
Last time 3-in-1 was like, that was the... I was not going to.
Well, you know, what I do drink.
I was not going to say that.
I drink the pot coffee in the pantry. Yeah. So,
but that's still filtered. I mean, that's still kind of semi fancy, right?
Yeah. Actual coffee.
The Rakyat coffee is the packet kind, right? Chuang and I drink that.
Yeah, you know, Nescafe on the way. Yeah.
No, I just drink it black. Nescafe, Indo Cafe, whatever is there. I'm not a fast.
See, Wong Xiaoning.
I do love my Nescafe Tarix though.
You have to,
and
right?
And brew coffee.
That's a Malaysian staple. That's what it is. That's what defines us as a human race. Nation.
Yes, totally.
I thought it's data rate, but never mind this.
Okay, so what's on the docket this morning, guys? Roshan Kanesan.
Well, I have firstly.
Okay.
Don't you think work has gone more casual? No more dress codes, fixed hours. We can even work from home or desktop in the office. But do you think we've taken this a little bit too far when we apply for a job?
Okay. Roshan?
I will be... I had a conversation on Ringin since yesterday. That's every Thursday at 9:30 a.m. And we were talking
Shameless plug right there.
Yeah.
No, what are you talking about? And we were talking about women and investing, the behaviours and the advice from some financial planners.
Yeah.
One thing that came up, though, was about how to talk about money in relationships, or just money and relationships. And
you so just let the woman handle the money. That's the relationship.
So that was one of the things that was brought up. And we'll talk about
it
that.
It depends on what kind of... See, Jeremy, it's already the conversation has started. And you've given me the most benign conversation topic, which is applying for jobs with emoticons, which is like, does anyone care about that? But apparently they do, because it's a reality. Okay, so all that to look forward to in a few more minutes. Stay tuned on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Elton John with Tiny Dancer, that seminal track which he composed with Bernie Taupin in the 70s.
Oh, yes.
Great little ditty there. Chuang joined by Roshan and Wong Xiaoning. Now, we're going to talk about hierarchies, which is something that Malaysia is quite used to because we like our bosses. We do indeed. But now the Financial Times is suggesting that the unstructured society and the unstructured workplace is not the fantasy that we thought it was, right?
Yeah, this is based on a book. It's a write-up of a book called Hierarchy, very creatively named right there.
Yeah, exactly.
It talks about, you know, how sometimes we think of hierarchy as too structured. But on the opposite side, the lack of hierarchy just causes chaos and a really just a lack of the ability to move forward. Companies have experimented with it. Things like using circles and...
Zappos, isn't it?
Yeah,
the
Zappos
shoe company.
Circles, right? So within those circles, you operate independently and then
I think the circles just go round and round and round and never go anywhere.
Yeah.
I think it works for projects, but like on a longer term basis, you always need a leadership. It's like free range parenting.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
No, I don't believe in it. I think at the end of the day, you need a boss, right?
Yeah, yeah.
At some point, somebody has to make the hard decision.
That's right.
And if you don't have that, then where do you... You can't move forward. You're just running on the spot.
Lobsters. Lobsters is where the secret are. What the secret is. Okay.
Why lobsters, John?
Okay, so there's this guy called Jordan Peterson, right? He's this very celebrated, quite famous psychoanalyst from America. He's actually Canadian, actually. And he first came to prominence when he talked about his, when he put his lectures on YouTube. And in his book, I think The 10 Principles to, I can't remember the full title. He started off the first chapter with lobsters. And lobsters basically are older than time itself, right? They've been around since about a million years ago. And when he studied lobsters in the wild, he found that lobsters established their power systems and their kingdoms from a very, very early part of their ecosystem. And the most powerful lobsters, the largest lobsters, the most dominant lobsters established their power systems very, very early on. And everybody else falls in line. It's the same thing with human beings. Hierarchies are here to stay. We can't dispel it because it's just not part of our DNA. We have it within us to establish hierarchies everywhere we are in society, whether in the workplace, whether in personal lives, whether in our families. We do need that leadership.
Do you think that you can be the boss? Okay, this is interesting because you say there's hierarchies everywhere.
Everywhere.
In the world.
Everywhere. You
but
analyze
the hierarchies
it.
Change where you are. So in the office, you could be, you know, the boss. And then when you get home, you're the little worker bee.
Yes. Yes.
So it's not predefined that if you're the boss here, you'll be the boss everywhere, right?
Correct.
Hierarchies change, right, based on the context of the situation. Because at work, you get legitimate power where you're based on your position, if you're a company that has structures in place. But in a, this is, the article points out this, right? So if you're in a company that doesn't have structures, hierarchies still form, but that's based on your influence within the team or your the influence that you build as opposed to influence that you've been given by the company. So sometimes that influence can go to people that may not necessarily... people you may not want to have that influence.
Correct, but hierarchies are defined. The characteristics that define hierarchies are traditional, right? In a traditional sense, they are strength, size, dominance, physical stature, right? In a workplace, a structure that could be influence, status, title,
charisma.
Generally speaking, if you are CEO of the company, you go home. You're not going to be cowed by your wife. You are the man in the house as well.
Really?
Generally speaking,
I'm giving you that look, Chuang.
No, and generally speaking, if you're the female CEO of a bank, you go home. You're not going to be number two to your husband. No way, right? Unless he too is himself a CEO of a bank, right?
But here we're talking about extremes, right? We're talking about the 1%. In general situations, in dual income households, that's not so much the case depending on... we've put a lot of emphasis on financial prowess, right? As a society for a long time.
Yeah.
And... If the income at home, the income levels are equal on both sides, that gives you a certain level of power on both sides, right?
I mean, let's be honest. Who makes the money usually controls.
Yeah.
Yeah? I think that's the reality.
It's as simple as that.
It's as simple as that. But I have friends who are CEOs. But then when they come home, they don't want to be the CEO.
No, because
they're kind of like, enough.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
I've done enough decisions for the day. I've been the boss. You know, I'm going to defer to my partner. And let them make the decisions.
Tan Sri Azlan Zainal once said exactly that same thing. When he goes home, he takes out the rubbish and he's number two to his wife. But you know what, right? I think that he allows it to happen. He allows it, right? And equally as well, when you analyze society, if the woman and the man, say, for example, they got married in university and they were at par at university, and if the woman's career path outpaces the husband, right, in 10, 15, 20 years' time, and the husband, say, makes half what the wife earns at, say, 45 years old, It puts undue pressure on the relationship, and sometimes it ends in divorce.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case.
Hierarchies are everywhere. Let's not make bones about it. It's true.
Sure, I mean that's hierarchies in general, right? And that applies to its power structures. It's knowing how to work with leadership or without leadership, end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, if you encounter any hierarchies, whether at home or at play or in the office, tell us what you think. The Twitter is at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was John Mayer with New Lights. Okay. I'm Chuang, joined by Roshan. I was going to say Shahid Abdullah. I was joined by Roshan Khanasen and Wong Xiaoning. Now, apropos our earlier discussion on hierarchies, and hierarchies in modern society are dictated by, among most major things, money. Okay, so let's narrow down the discussion to relationships and money, right? How important is money and relationships, and how transparent should one be? Starting with you, Roshan.
Yeah, so I had a conversation yesterday about this on Ring Incense, and a few things come to mind that we talked about. One was, in everything in finances, we always talk about diversifying your risk, right? But in a household, if only one person is earning money, that's an immense amount of concentration risk on one source of income. So that's one way to look at it if you want to look at it from a financial lens. But we talked about another important part is how do you talk about money in relationships? Because sometimes people don't know what your what the partner makes. And a lot of times these are conversations that are just let be, right? They're just hanging in the air.
A little bit taboo sometimes, right?
No one wants to ask
right?
the question.
Yeah.
And if you don't start it, you don't have this conversation sometimes early on in the relationship and you leave it too late, then it never happens, right? Because everyone just dances around the issue.
Yeah, it becomes a no-go zone like for ad infinitum, right?
I think, you know, at some point you got to decide, okay, we've got to be honest about it, all right? About things like, simple things like how much you make. I find it very strange when couples don't know how much each other makes, number one. Especially if you're married, can you imagine this conversation?
I can imagine why you would not want your partner to know how much you make, because you might want to maintain some semblance of control.
But yes.
What happens if also you want to, you're a little bit shy about how fast or how slow you are in your career path, right? And you don't want your partner to know, my gosh, she's making more money than I am. She'll find out that I'm actually a loser, and I'll lose the dominance in the household.
She'll find out eventually anyway.
Because of, there'll be subtle clues, right?
Yes, for sure. And then if you are not honest about it, then as the other partner, you'll be wondering, why is he or she not contributing? Right?
Yeah,
let's say you have a financial goal, buy a new house.
Yeah, or
right?
like, say, for example, if the wife wants to buy Prada and he buys Primavera, then you know what I mean? You know what I mean, right? You can tell.
No, different but tastes. Yeah. And then just also this, you know, like when you go on holidays, you see the, you know, one partner hesitating, you know, let's go to Bangkok, the other one wants to go to New York. Then you know everybody's on a different path already.
Yeah, yeah.
And what about, let's not even go to the big ticket item, a house.
Okay.
Which is probably the biggest thing you're going to buy as a couple.
So that's a pretty complex thing. We've just touched on, right? The importance of transparency in relationships, the importance of having that parity between partners, right? And what happens if you don't have that parity? What happens then? How do you deal with it?
I think you need to start at the very beginning and be honest about it rather than just, you know, kind of cagey, because it will all come out at the end of the day.
Do you think it's cool? Like, say, for example, if you are in fact a girl, right?
Yes, the last I checked, I was Chong.
Okay, so then how difficult or how easy is it for a woman to countenance the fact that at some point in time, if she surpasses her husband or partner in terms of her career, how comfortable would you be with staying with that person? Do you know what I mean?
I think.
And how comfortable would he be dealing with the fact that he's inferior to you?
Yeah, it's not an easy situation. And I think it also depends at what point were you together. You know what I mean? Because if you were, like the example you gave, if you were at university together and then you graduated together and you started work together, I think maybe there's a little bit more of an acceptance because, you know, you fell in love with this person at that point in time and you probably still love him very much. Maybe it's a little bit harder when you're already both out there working and you kind of know. Sometimes the relationship never gets off the ground because the guy hesitates or even the woman hesitates.
Well,
because at the end of the day, let's be honest, money is important.
Money
lifestyle,
talks. Money talks,
you know, lifestyle,
man.
Everything.
No money, no honey,
it's
man.
It's critical, right? I mean, we saw stats that a lot of divorces were caused by, in the end of the day, financial issues.
Yeah, and I think at least half, if not one.
At least half.
Yeah.
And it comes to whether, not just about whether you're talking about money, but sometimes the struggle to get things going in the household.
So, Roshan, your ship hasn't sailed yet in terms of your finding a betrothed. What's your approach? I mean, how are you going to deal with it?
Such fancy words that
I confused with that way.
I don't know. So right now, when it comes to dates and things like that, right, I have this where we each pay for one meal. I choose whatever I want. But because I'm choosing whatever I want, I have to cover that. Right.
Okay.
So if it's more expensive, I pay for that.
All right.
And
so
if
you
she
take
goes
turns.
For something more expensive, she pays for that.
Okay.
Right. And it's a kind of just like, because I don't see a difference, right? Because we should be contributing equally to this financially. But then we are still very early in our ship, as you put it so nicely.
Yeah, Chuang, in your ship that sailed a long time ago, what happens?
Well,
he left the dock.
it was very natural because, you know, when my wife and I got married and then we had children very early on in our relationship, then she left the job and then it all fell on me. So it's quite clear, you know.
But you have these discussions, right?
There is that concentration. We're completely transparent.
And
she has complete access to my stuff.
Do you think it's important that you set the priorities early on?
It
you know, because you have a targeted, we want to save X amount. We want to buy a house here. I think that makes a difference, right? At least everyone's on the same shared platform.
Yeah. We had all that. But, you know, we got together quite late, so it was really established in terms of the properties and property and things like that.
Was that a Freudian slip, John?
No, it wasn't. There was an S there for sure.
So multiple properties.
So conventional theory, changing the subject swiftly.
He's from Penang.
Okay.
Ah, right.
Oh, I can't. I've been told to stop. Okay. Well, we will be coming back with more discussions of a very we're going to try on that nature. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was The Pretenders with Kid. I'm Chuang, joined by Roshan and Xiao Ning. Now, let's talk about the story that's coming out of the Rocket Post, going really viral at this point in time. And it really analyzes how things are changing in terms of the job market and how people are applying for jobs. Now, they have focused on the story in terms of how people who are applying for jobs now are doing it in a very informal and very casual way, in a way that is totally not something that we're used to in a traditional sense. They're using private messages to apply for jobs without even the ceremonial, I am so and so and this is what I do and I've studied this and that and I've got this experience. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's become a real WhatsApp direct message culture.
Yeah, if you read these messages that they've put up online, it's simple things like, even before you introduce yourself, you are asking for PM math assistant, PM salary. This is WhatsApp culture. This is PM culture.
Yeah.
What was interesting about this? So they're talking about a particular job posting. And what was interesting was she specifically said, don't private message, only WhatsApp for inquiries. So this shows a gap in understanding, right? But also, it's the prevalent culture of how people use digital and online, right? I remember there are always complaints about short forming, right? From on the way becomes OTW. This is the evolution of that now. My brother does this on Facebook groups. He trades shoes. And this is how they talk to each other.
Yeah.
PM price, PM this. This is trading.
But they can't distinguish between, let's say, casual chit-chat, which is fine. You know, I think casual chit-chat, you can do all this LOL, OTW, whatever. Sometimes I don't even understand it. It's fine. But this is when you are really applying for a job.
But
what kind of impression do you want?
This is a single example, right?
Yeah. But do people realize the impression they give when they do this?
I think they don't realize it. I think they're just caught up in this whole way of communicating that the thing that applies across the board, it doesn't. It doesn't at all.
So again, bringing the example I brought, my brother, right? But he knows the difference, right? He's easily 10 years younger than I am at this point. No, he's always been 10 years younger than I am. but there is a difference between this culture that they are in online. So if you're putting your jobs on Facebook, to be fair, this is a job posting on Facebook. So it's already a casual platform. Are you expecting professionalism here? If you did it on LinkedIn, then maybe you should be having a different standard of expectation. But where you post your job posting, well, you should be aware of the type of responses you get to that.
Well, she did ask for qualification, current status, studying and working. I think she wanted specifics. And what was funny was they didn't even bother to give her the specifics.
Yeah, I think this story is a manifestation of how the way we communicate and the way we speak to each other is changing because of digital framework, right? And you said one thing which I found very interesting, Roshan. There's a gap in understanding. And when you talk about language and say, for example, English, right? There's three levels, right? When you teach English, there's reading, there's writing, and then there's listening. Mm. When you don't listen well enough, or you don't comprehend what's well enough, then after that, everything else after that breaks down. And the digital framework now, because we're so caught up in speed and we've got so many platforms to communicate with, right? Whether it's WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger, etc., that comprehension just gets dropped off by the wayside. And not just comprehension, it's also the way we communicate, full sentences versus abbreviations, right? All that just breaks down.
But we also had examples whereby people just become just way too casual. Remember we talked about when now you go for a job interview, it's not face-to-face anymore, right? So you do a lot of it via video conferencing. And it's shocking because people have complained that the applicant actually does the video in his pajamas.
Okay, so
so there's this whole sense that this casualness about it. It's okay to just roll out and do it.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, nobody preps anymore for things like this.
So let's turn this whole thing on a coin, right? let's just say old versus new. Do the old people, does the old way of doing things apply and take superiority, or does the new way of doing things apply? And because at the end of the day, it's not about it's not about the form, it's the substance, right? Mm-hmm. And what happens if the other person on the other side of the who doesn't have any social skills is amazing at what they do, for example, mm-hmm. right? You yeah. never know. Well, and that person loses out just because he doesn't or she doesn't have any social skills. But that person is amazing at, say, a math assistant, right?
Yeah, I guess it would come down to so market forces, right?
Who changes that? New or old?
Who has the negotiating power, right? It's if everyone is talking like this and you're looking for a math assistant and no one's giving you the replies you want, eventually you're going to have to just deal with someone who's replying you PM salary.
Yeah.
Right? It's about who has the negotiating power in the situation. If everyone is talking like this and you are not, then maybe you're the problem. But her reply is quite...
No, that's a good point. Yeah, good point.
So we have perpetually changed, right? Society changes. The way we do things changes. Before that, you would call, answer the phone and you'd say who you are before anything else. But we have caller ID right now. We don't have to say, hi, I'm Roshan Kanesan here. No, yeah. You know who I am. You're calling my phone. And when you're... These are very direct messages. They're literally being very straightforward. And maybe it comes off rude and maybe it comes off...
Flippant.
But that's also text messaging, right?
I don't know. I mean, in this competitive world today, I think as an applicant, you need to improve your skill set. You need to get into that company, right? So you do what it takes.
So what happens in 10 years' time when the HR manager is no longer a human being? It's a robot, for example, right? And you want to basically impress the socks off that HR manager, right? It is not about social skills. It's about how good you are for the job.
We should bring Jack Ma and Elon Musk in for this interview.
Right, for example, right? And then, and then how do the dynamics change then? How does the rules of engagement change then? You never know. Okay, we're going to be coming back in a few minutes. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, Florence and the Machine with Addicted to Love. I'm Chuang, joined by Roshan and Xiaoning. Now, this is the time of the day when we look at the newspapers and we highlight what we think are interesting little nuggets that the journalists have put out into the world for us. Starting with you, Xiaoning, what have you got on your Malaysian Reserve?
The front page is construction sector at risk if property doldrum prolongs.
Mm.
I mean, so many sectors get affected, right? Construction is one, even banking.
So the whole economy has a risk of slowing down because construction has a huge multiplier.
Yes, and right? It all starts in a way with the overhang situation we have in the property sector.
So the government's got no choice but to try and help
at least
the property
think
sector?
About it, you know, like how to resolve the unsold property. I think in Malaysia, the main issue, of course, is the mismatch between, you know, supply of affordable property versus the demand.
No, I disagree. I think it's the mismatch between salaries and the level of salaries and the prices of prices of properties on a regional basis are not out of sync, right? In fact, we lag the region. Our salaries are the ones in the north.
I don't necessarily agree because if I look at the margins of the property companies, right, they are still on the high side. So I don't know whether we overprice our properties in many ways. And also whether the question of affordable property is resolved more. Wages, for sure. I agree with you. They should go up.
Yeah.
But in the first place, should the properties be priced so much? Because, is you know, are developers expecting too much too?
Versus even Hanoi or Saigon, our properties are way too cheap.
Just because we have a lot of supply and we don't have an internationalized property market.
Mm.
Yeah, so a lot of this conversation about the oversupply is focusing on, especially recently, this foreign ownership stuff, right?
Yeah.
About buying the developer units. And I don't see why we should be doing that, right? Why bail out, essentially bail out developers and not the secondhand, the home buyers who have maybe bought a second house because they think property always goes up. Right, they've taken a second
mortgage.
You mean
bail out the speculators?
Not just speculators. These are middle-class families who have taken the 5.95%, the 10.90%. Yeah. I know a lot of families who've done this, and they're middle-class.
So my conspiracy theory behind why Airbnb is so big in Malaysia is because Airbnb mops up excess supply by allowing people to rent out their unsold inventory.
Yeah, if you look at Bangsa South or any one of these, or Mount Kera, how many lights do you see on in these apartments?
Very few, right.
But these are the same people who were have a few years ago before it was stopped. The 5% down and 95% of the property you cover once they build it.
Which is why you still need to do the maths and do the financial planning. Because if you expect rental to cover your interest payments,
no way.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a tough spot now, right? So when you buy this property, you've got to imagine that, hey, one day I can't rent it out. And what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And if you can't afford the installment payments, really think twice about buying it then.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I'm someone who doesn't actually want to buy property, not for the foreseeable future. It's too much. Again, I've said this too many times today. Concentration risk in one asset class.
So you're an equities guy, right? Okay, what's on your newspaper, Roshan?
The Haze. The front page of the NST is three words, out of control, and a giant picture of Kalimantan. It's actually a really nice photo until you realize that it's smoke.
Yeah.
And then you realize how bad the situation is. And the rest of the pages are really a lot of haze coverage today. A nice photo of a plane being filled with water for cloud seeding. But the second page of the NST is quite interesting. It's about how to combat transboundary crime, not haze, but smuggling and illicit trade. So the MMEA wants to beef up technology and to combat this better.
Yeah, I've actually got the Star in front of me, and I found the front page quite interesting because on page 1, page 3, and I think in page 4 and 5 as well, it's pictures of the royalty, right? The royal couple. And they're quite nice. They're quite warm and fuzzy stories, quite humanizing stories. And I think, well, on the one hand, my journalist part of me says, oh, it's a charm offensive by the royal family and right? But on the other side as well, these are nice stories to have, and we've got too much bad news in the world today anyway. We need some nice stories.
Yeah, Sharad's kept pointing this out, that I think it was the Star or the NST that kept doing human interest pieces.
And that's nice.
And it was interesting, right?
Yeah.
And look at the three papers we've covered today. They've all gone with different, completely different angles.
Yeah.
The Reserve seems to be a lot more businessy.
But it has always been more businessy. Yeah.
Harder,
right?
Like, it's harder.
Yeah.
And then we've got the NST, which is a lot of haze and a lot of...
They didn't cover the haze yesterday, you see.
Oh, right. Okay, so today is their turn.
Yeah.
So maybe there is a little bit of coordination. It's like, okay, you cover today, I will cover today.
And because it's Friday, the Star goes with the Queen. And why not? Germaine, yeah.
Friday, Chuang. Yeah. I'm not ever going to forget you saying that.
No, actually, it was Han's word, which I learned. But the Star is not to be left out because on page 8 of the Nation section, they're talking about the haze. And there's a suggestion that they might be using drones, the government, to create artificial rain, to seed clouds, like. And why not? Drones are much, much more...
Micro cloud seeding. That's very interesting.
Yeah, you know, so that's interesting. Okay, it is now 5 minutes to 7 o'clock. We're going to be coming back with the 7 o'clock news, and after that, the business end of the morning run. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.